Another day, another Muslim attack upon USA innocence. In the midst of one of the most dramatic election cycles in history, again lurking like the plague in the background, another Muslim radical acts on the call for lone wolf jihad at Ohio State University. Despite claiming he felt, quote, scared to pray openly and demanding more prayer rooms, this humble little zealot, this religious devil named Abdul Razak Ali Artan, was yet not afraid to run over Ohio State students and stab them repeatedly in a frenzy. This Somali refugee, one of nearly 100,000 Somalis in America, merely illustrates Trump's points on American Islam. Who are these people, and when will they strike next? Artan was shot down after lunging at a campus cop during his stab fest. Thank God he didn't have a gun. But remember, your Second Amendment friends, you might be called on for some heroism yourself next time. Meanwhile, the panegyrics, the hymns, the praise for dead dictator Fidel Castro continue. Yet this man was all about power. In what socialist revolution is the aftermath and result ever better than what was being protested? The rhetorical question there. Like all idiot leftist movements, everything becomes politics and Marx justifies all, everything. No freedoms and government murders are the result, while the elites live in absurd luxury, while the people starve to death, are tortured and slain in prisons and in the streets. Good riddance, you Marxist cockroach. Finally, in the resulting recount, we can safely quote Karl Marx here. History repeats itself first as tragedy, second as farce. These fools didn't even make the Pennsylvania recount deadline. So even in theory, they could not overturn Trump's win. But Hillary, brain-damaged ninny that she is, exposed herself and her lack of appreciation at Trump's moratorium on prosecution by foolishly jumping in and doubling down on the chaos. And now what? Now what is going to happen to Hillary? Good morning, folks. 6:08. But wow, it's just, you know, crazy stuff going on out there. And in addition to this news, we've just found out that a Colombian airplane crashed with the soccer team on it. I don't know if it was the official soccer team or just a soccer team, but I think 76 dead. And so that's too bad. Now there's fires raging in the Smoky Mountains back east. Getting real smoky over there. Pelosi facing her day of reckoning. Nancy Pelosi, the former storefront mannequin who came to life with her plastic face, is getting pushed and maybe pushed out by the next few days in the vote to lead the Democrat minority house. Harry Reid, the epic scumball, is leaving himself. And there was no insult or claim that was too vile for that guy to make against Republicans. He's the most partisan, probably the most partisan leader in the history of the Senate. And all right, so let me get you a clip going here on this Ohio State attack. Fox News, but I don't understand claiming that you're afraid to even pray. You're such a little mouse, but you do have the ability to go out and run people over and try to stab them to death. And one of the witnesses said he was in a feeding frenzy. There were so many people that he wanted to kill and stab. You know. Well, we do have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hello. Kelly here. Was on the outside call-in line. It must have been Bryce. All right, so here is your clip on the Ohio State attacker.
The chaos all started shortly before 10 a.m. local time at The Ohio State University, where students had just returned from Thanksgiving break. The man plowed his car into pedestrians, got out, and started slashing innocent bystanders with a knife. 11 people were hurt. The attacker would later be identified as Abdul Razak Ali Artan, an OSU student and Somali refugee who had legal permanent residence in the United States. Fortunately, his attack did not last long. Within a minute, a 28-year-old officer would shoot him dead. Still, the campus was put on lockdown amid fears the suspect was not acting alone. Students were erroneously told that there was an active shooter on campus, ordered to run, hide, and fight. It now appears those shots belonged to the responding officer alone. All students, all across the campus, the students sheltered in place as the police raced to the scene. And while the authorities have been careful not to disclose a possible motive here, they say terrorism cannot be ruled out.
Based upon common knowledge that this was done on purpose, to go over the curb and strike pedestrians and then get out and start striking them with a knife. That was on purpose.
Mike?
And Megan, sophomore Jacob Bowers had stopped on a bench on campus just before 10 o'clock. He opened his laptop, put his headphones in, and because he had the headphones in, he didn't hear the initial car attack. But he saw out of the corner of his eye people running around, and he looked up to see the attacker flailing away at students with a knife.
It looked like a school of fish and a shark attacking it. Like, he couldn't focus on one person, and that's why... Like, everyone got really lucky. Like, he couldn't focus on one, so he couldn't hit anyone.
Now, Bowers also says he heard Officer Alan Harujko give several commands to the attacker before Artan lunged at the officer and the fatal shots were fired. Officer Harujko has been given a lot of credit tonight with preventing further bloodshed. Now, law enforcement sources tell Fox News that they are looking at a Facebook post from earlier in the day, possibly linked to Artan, in which a declaration is made against what is described as unfair treatment of Muslims, and that's being looked at as a possible link to a motive. Megan?
Mike Tobin, thank you.
Well, I guess the thing to do if you believe you've been treated unfairly is go kill some people, you know? Not enough prayer rooms? That's worth murdering somebody. You feel like Muslims are being unfairly accused of being bad people and violence, go out and kill some people, you know, right? I mean, it is amazing to me how so often in radical Islam, the answer to all of the problems is to go out and shoot or blow people up or, you know, I mean, it's like, I guess that's what it was like at 2,000, 3,000 years ago, you know, is you got a disagreement with somebody, go kill them or somebody in their family or blow up their city or whatever. I just, you know, I think there's going to be traction for whatever it is that Trump wants to do. And will it go against civil liberties? It might, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, in the meantime, the president, the failed president, the obviously failed president, doing everything. He's moving heaven and earth to get as many Muslims into this country, foreign Muslims, people that don't know anything about the West, moving as many in as possible. What is the difference between Fidel Castro and Barack Obama? In my opinion, opportunity. I mean, I think he's got the heart of a tyrant. So, I mean, why would you want the border to be perpetually open no matter who crosses it? Think about all of the drugs that came across the border during the time that they've had this open border policy. Think about it. Think about all the criminals. Think about, you know. Anyway, let's I'm going to take a little break here, but I just... I can't wait till Trump gets in, to be totally honest. I'm so sick of this garbage. But there is going to be a you know, there's going to be years of trying to recover from what this Obama has done to us. I mean, and going around and pretending he's the world's greatest person. And in the meantime, figuring out 1,000, you know, what obvious or subtle ways to harm America. And for what? I mean, what did Obama really think he was going to achieve? Even if he collapsed America, what would be the overall achievement? You know, these Marxists never have to justify themselves. And let me get you some Buena Vista Social Club in honor of the dead cockroach Marxist, Fidel Castro. And here is a little bit. Well, let's just take a break and we'll be back. Kelly O'Connell, 617 AM, Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and today is the 29th of November. All right, so I you know, you're going to find this shocking. You're going to ask yourself, why did the Green Party candidate decide that she wanted to go after the recount? Now, she just wanted to do it in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, low-hanging fruit, the states that Trump barely won, supposedly, except the problem is they had to have you know, the difference was about 70 points. 70 electoral votes. Now, they needed the 20 votes from Pennsylvania. Michigan had 16. I mean, they needed all of these, and it was, I think it was 306 to, I think it was 306, maybe it was 303, 303, 303 electoral votes to 233, whatever. It was like they had to have this switch to get to 270. All right. Now, Stein wouldn't be benefited by this. The only way she was benefited, and there was this idea that, number one, she was either working for Hillary, or number two, that she, and perhaps more probably, she was doing it for to make money for her next run, or to just make some money. And so, anyway, they lost something in the details, which is they forgot to hit the deadline for Pennsylvania. So even in theory, they couldn't hit the recount. Now, check this out, though.
Well, the recount effort in Wisconsin was one sought by the Green Party candidate Jill Stein. And she knows it's not going to change the outcome for her. But over the weekend, the Clinton campaign joined in, saying they are not trying to overturn results, but participate in a process to make sure it's conducted fairly for all parties. Trump blasted Democrats for joining the recount, which is the subject of a meeting and conference call in Wisconsin this morning to discuss how the recount will be conducted. By state law, it has to be completed by mid-December. Trump's won the election. Clinton has conceded, but he lashed out at the Green Party and Democrats on Twitter yesterday and, among other things, tweeted this, quote, "Serious voter fraud in Virginia, New Hampshire, and California. So why isn't the media reporting on this? Serious bias, big problem." Trump specifically tweeted debunked claims of widespread voter fraud in New Hampshire, California, and Virginia, allegations that the election officials in those states all dispute. Clinton campaign lawyer Mark Elias weighed in this morning, tweeting, "We are getting attacked for participating in a recount that we didn't ask for by the man who won the election, but thinks there was massive fraud." So there you have it. Hillary Clinton's lawyer acknowledging once again that Trump won the election.
Bill. What about Michigan? What about Pennsylvania? Start in Michigan.
Well, Michigan is a fairly simple one compared to what happens in Pennsylvania. And there is less effort in Michigan as there is in Pennsylvania because of how difficult it is there. Recounts could go forward in both, but in Pennsylvania, it's particularly difficult. They got to find three voters from each of Pennsylvania's more than 9,100 voting precincts, so 30,000 people roughly. They have to have voted. They have to download an affidavit off the web, fill it out, then sign it in the presence of a notary and have it stamped. Then they have to take it to a county clerk's office and have it certified. And different counties have different deadlines. The Jill Stein campaign is saying that some of the deadlines in a few of the precincts may already have passed, and today is a huge day. They're basically pushing an all-or-nothing thing in the next 3 days. So it's a very steep hill. The kind of thing that Donald Trump might suggest was a rigged election not too long ago, because a recount is a really, really hard thing to accomplish in Pennsylvania, less so in Michigan, but the margin was a little bit bigger in Michigan, too.
So how many votes would they have to do? Well, what you'd have to do is you would have to find over 100,000 or something like 100,000 votes. So you'd have to find mistakes in the balloting, and they would have to favor Hillary to an extraordinary degree. And as a result of that, you'd have to get 100,000 votes that were put in for Hillary or should have been put in for Hillary and instead went over to Trump. That is not going to happen, obviously. Now, I mean, so here's a little bit from Jill Stein, "Are You a Crybaby?" Believe it or not, from MSNBC.
Dr. Jill Stein joins me now. So, Dr. Stein, are you a crybaby and a loser?
Well, unfortunately, or shall we say fortunately, it's not about me. It's about the American people who emerged from this election as not happy campers. 80% of Americans, according to a New York Times poll, were disgusted by the conduct of the election.
This lady is an absolute idiot. Would you hear how she just responded and consider voting for her? It's not about me. I mean, why would you do a This is so crazy. Anyway.
And throughout the election, what I had said, whenever I was asked, would I call for a recount if there were doubts about the credibility of the results, I always said yes. This is not about helping one candidate or hurting another candidate. This is also not about advancing my own career. You know, my campaign is not going to win here, although we might get a more accurate count of green votes.
You talk about not advancing. Dr. Stein, you talked, though, about knowing that you won't win. President-elect Trump says that this is basically a scam. He said that this effort by you is going to fill her coffers with money, most of which she will never spend on this ridiculous recount. Does every cent of what you're fundraising for in the recount go to those efforts?
Yes, and that's what the voters are funding. And we're very—
No, that's not correct. I mean, she is not telling the truth there, because she's raised more money than needed to do the recount. So what is she— and she missed the recount in Pennsylvania. So what is she going to do? Call up the donors and give their money back? These people are so nuts. And all right, so we'll take a break. 6:27, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. And we'll be right back to carry on. All right. So back here and dealing with some of the, it's impossible to keep up with all this stuff, but I mean, really. All right. So the stories are coming out that the Democrats themselves are totally frustrated with the recount effort, and they understand that it's not going to overturn the election, and they understand the purpose of it in part is to give Trump a hard time. And, you know, I just, another waste of money and time and efforts. And I think it just illustrates this unending catastrophe that the Democrats have just gone through, which is they came up with a bad candidate. They stuck with her too long. And, you know, what else can you say? So here's the question now. Did Hillary squander an opportunity to get out of jail free because she's turned around and shown Trump that that she was not grateful for his offer to not prosecute her?
Making it official. She wants a recount, and she's teaming up with Green Party nominee Jill Stein. Donald Trump calling it a scam, as Stein's own site admits, despite the $6 million she's already raised, a recount is not needed. So who's really paying for this? Here to weigh in, New York Post Washington Bureau Chief and author of Clinton Inc., Dan Halper is here. Dan, thanks for being here. So who is paying for this?
Well, it appears that Jill Stein will be paying for it, and her donors will actually be paying for it, as well as Hillary Clinton. They announced yesterday that their campaign is going to support the efforts. It looks to me like it's a very clear effort to delegitimize Donald Trump and to delegitimize his presidency. They want to undermine him, much in the same way, incidentally, that George W. Bush, when he came into office, it was through a contentious recount in Florida in 2000, of course, and then a Supreme Court decision. And I wouldn't say, you know, his presidency, I think, suffered in certain ways because the left never really regarded him as their president. I think you're trying to see them rebuild that same sort of effort. Hillary Clinton's lawyers have determined that only 107,000 votes swayed this election, mm-hmm. if you count Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. And here they are trying to make Donald Trump look like he's not the real president.
Well, and here's Donald Trump's response to that. He's been tweeting about it, calling it a scam. He tweeted, "The Green Party scam to fill up their coffers by asking for impossible recounts is now being joined by the badly defeated and demoralized Dems." He also tweeted, "The Democrats, when they incorrectly thought they were going to win, asked that the election night tabulation be accepted. Not so anymore." And Dan, we've been playing sound all morning of Hillary Clinton saying she would be she was horrified,
right,
that Donald Trump had suggested he may challenge the election results. And here we are today, and she's joining forces with Jill Stein to challenge the election results.
Right. It's obvious that she thought that she was going to win. She was so cocky in that she thought she was going to win that she never thought that she would be the one raising questions about the legitimacy of the election. But her own lawyer admits that in a recount, in the history of recounts in America, we've never had 10,000 votes overturned. So in Michigan, Hillary Clinton lost by about 10,000 votes, a little more. And that's the smallest state. That's the narrowest state. And that margin has never been overturned. So the likelihood of that happening in three states is basically none. It's not going to happen. And yet she is trying to do this. She and Jill Stein, they're teaming up to try to do this.
You might want to think twice about donating to this because you really don't know what you're getting for your money. And by the way, she exceeded the original amount, $2.5 million. Now she's asking for $7 million. And in the fine print on her website where she's asking for these donations, it says, quote, "We cannot guarantee a recount will happen in any of these states we are targeting. We can only pledge we will demand recounts in those states."
Right.
Dan?
Which is, of course, why Donald Trump says, look, she's just trying to fill her coffers. And she might just do that. She has raised a ton of money. You know, look, the Democrats, imagine if the Republicans had lost. There would be a lot of infighting between people who thought that we shouldn't have nominated Donald Trump or that they shouldn't have nominated this or whatever. There would have been a lot of infighting. This is to save the Democrats from infighting. There's a lot of people who are saying, you know, we could be blaming each other, and yet if we can all team together to blame Donald Trump, well, then that's a way of preventing you know, that's a way of sort of keeping the band together rather than sniping at each other. And I think that's what they're trying to do here. But the problem is that these recounts, if they happen and if they occur, as it looks like some mm-hmm. at least might, they actually may legitimize Donald Trump more. If the votes are recounted more and people say, well, Donald Trump really is the winner, well, then I think the Democrats might be in worse shape after having undergone these recounts than if they hadn't done them at all.
Interesting way to put it. Dan Halper, thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. So, I mean, let's be obvious here. This is the worst idea, a terrible idea. All right. So it is getting colder around here, and I've got some weather for you. Wanted to announce a new sponsor for the show. Cafe Go-Go, across from Sam's Club. Not really a strip club, but a nice little restaurant. And lots of tasty food. What's some of the food, you're asking? They have the incredible, they probably have the best burger in town. And I go there all the time. And we had my piano in there playing the other day. So anyway, Cafe Go-Go, sponsoring the show. And across from Sam's Club. So the Commerce Drive, if you drive in from Main Street, and then it's basically the second business on the right past the bank. But anyway, okay, so, I hate to say it, but it's a collapse of the Democratic Party. We're going to have to come back and talk about that. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450, and you're listening to KOBE. Little Cuban music in honor of the dead cockroach. Fidel Castro. All right, so my computer's frozen up again. All right, here is the point that I'm making. The Democratic Party, as we know it, is dead. What's coming next? Newt Gingrich is going to tell you.
Peter, Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, good to see you. First, about the recount. Do you really believe Jill Stein, with less than 1%, is doing this all on her own? Because it's kind of conspiracy week. Hillary's thinking that the Russians hacked into Wisconsin's voting machines. So can't we say that I think that Hillary probably is prompting, or her people are prompting Jill Stein? That seemed plausible?
Look, well, first of all, you covered an amazing amount of ground in that opening report. I want to commend you. And you used video beautifully to get people to understand you're simply giving them what actually happened, not your opinion, but they get to see for themselves. I thought it was brilliantly done. I think the recount mania is one more example of the collapse of the Democratic Party as a realistic institution. Next, we're going to be told that not only were the Russians engaged, but that there were Martians who were secretly voting in a variety of hamlets, and they were all right-wing Martians.
Yeah.
And that,
and
therefore,
Putin,
you know, we have to have
Martians.
A whole new election.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You what you're watching is the, and you're seeing this also with Keith Ellison running for Democratic National Committee chairman. I mean, you're seeing the sort of nutty wing of the Democratic Party begin to take over. And what Hillary said on election night was the right thing to say. I mean, if there was a realistic chance that they could turn three states and therefore turn the election, you could say, all right, I get it. There's not. I mean, nobody believes they're going to turn Pennsylvania, period. If you don't turn Pennsylvania, nothing matters. They're probably impossible to turn Wisconsin. It's too big a vote. It's too honest a state. Even the White House has conceded the Russians weren't there. The Martians weren't there. I mean, none of these explanations work. And then you've got Michigan. The odds against them turning all three of those states, which is what they'd have to do, are probably a trillion to one. So
probably
you begin to get into
trillion.
The nuttiness phase.
Well,
All right, so we'll take a break. Oh, God, this thing is frozen up again. I need, if there's a priest listening to the show, please drive down here. I need a demon sucked out of this computer. It is freezing up repeatedly. All right, here we go. So we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connelly, I'm Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. Give me your opinion. Okay, so 6:44, and we have a, I just thought it was kind of interesting what had happened to Kanye West and this guy. He's a rapper, et cetera, and he has been basically on psychiatric hold ever since he had this meltdown on stage and began a pro-Trump rant. And attacking other celebrities. And, yeah, I don't know, kind of sad. At the same time that a lot of people said they had seen it coming. Now, he is supposed to be very paranoid and won't even let the doctors touch him right now. So he's going through a period of paranoia. And so trying to pull this thing up for you. My computer as a whole is kind of slow, but let me ask you this. What do you think is the answer to the Democrats' problems? The fabulous Frankie answer, other than saying that the Republicans are a bunch of nut jobs. I mean, if the Republicans are a bunch of nut jobs, you got that problem for 4 to 8 years. So, and the same thing with Obama. I mean, what did the Republicans do for the 8 years that he was in there? So what does the Democratic Party need to do, in your opinion? 523-1450, especially if you're a Democrat, call in and give us your pronouncement and whatever that you think the situation would call for. Here is just a little bit on Kanye West, the fallen superstar. And I've heard for years that Kanye West was mentally ill. and had a psychiatric disorder.
From his hospital bed, Kanye's wife, Kim Kardashian West, was by his side in the hospital on Thanksgiving morning. And as far as his mental health is concerned, the source says that is, quote, very private and between him and his family.
Well, I guess it is between him and his family, but from what I read last night, they wanted to bring him home for Thanksgiving, and he was not in any way, up to that. And so I would like to know what his diagnosis is. Is he schizophrenic? Is he bipolar? I mean, I think he must be at least bipolar, right? I mean, the guy's famous for going off at the drop of a hat, and very grandiose views. He got up on an interview and stated that if he could just get some support for his fashion line, he could change the world. That in and of itself is an insane idea.
Last Monday, the source tells People the rapper is now under heavy supervision at the UCLA Medical Center. An insider shared that West has, quote, been very paranoid and is under constant watch for his safety, adding he has big ups and downs, but this bout seems to be much more serious, while another source adds that it is unclear when he'll return home, but he's very eager to work, even from his hospital bed. Kanye's wife, Kim Kardashian West, was by his side in the hospital on Thanksgiving morning, and as far as his mental health is concerned, the source says that is, quote, very private and between him and his family.
All right, so might have played a little bit of that on a bleed over, but anyway, kind of sad, but I just find it fascinating. These guys, a lot of these celebrities, I really wonder why they don't go nuts, you know, because they live a lifestyle that is so disconnected from reality. Let us take a last break here and then come back, and I've got a bunch more stuff for you. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450 to call in. And today is the 29th of November, getting into winter. All right, so once this stupid recount thing gets done, I guess it's already done. What difference does it make? But one more distraction. I mean, where do the Democrats go from here? Are you really going to get Keith Ellison in there, who is a very far lefty, who is the first open Muslim to serve in the U.S. Congress? Is that really the answer? I mean, you know, there's a killing yesterday, but that's the answer to the problems. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Ralph Kelly.
Morning, Ralph. Hope you're feeling well, and what's going on?
Thank you, Kelly. I wonder if Trump doesn't realize that by him even talking to Romney, he's getting a lot of people really alienated. He can't believe what he's doing with Romney. Romney is considered, including myself, in my opinion, such a low cockroach, you know, piece of manure.
He is. He really is. He is.
What in the world is Trump supposedly, he's supposed to meet with him again today? If he appoints him to any position, anything, even talking to him, has turned a lot of people against Trump now. I wonder if he does, being so intelligent, he doesn't realize what this is doing to his reputation of being such
well,
a outspoken.
I don't know. I just think Trump's a different kind of guy, and I don't know what the fascination would be if somebody, you know, if you had a party, a birthday party, and one of your supposed friends got up and said what a piece of garbage you were and how you used prostitutes and stole money from people and abused your children, you'd never want to see that individual again. But that's basically what Romney did to Trump, and I am astounded. I'm astounded that he's talking to him. I can't figure it out.
And he's supposed to talk to him again today.
I don't know. It's I would have never guessed this happening, but, you know, who knows?
But you don't have any opinion on why he's doing that? I mean, he's hurting himself. His staunch reputation about going against or fighting for his own reputation, going against people that really run him down, and here he's talking to that cockroach.
Yeah, I mean, every single person that I've heard Gussett, who's a Republican, has just said he's destroyed his reputation. I thought that when Mitt Romney got up and did that he didn't have a reputation left. I mean, I don't know. I can't tell you. We got another call. Is there anything else?
No, thank you.
Thanks, Ralph. Hang in there. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Michael.
Michael, what do you think, man?
Well, one of the great books of the last maybe 20 years, Doris, whatever, Goodwin, whatever.
Yeah, Doris.
Had a book called A Team of Rivals.
Right.
And it was because they called Lincoln an ape and a, you know, Neanderthal and everything else, and he put them in his cabinet to get stuff done.
All right,
so,
but I mean, that didn't Mitt Romney go over the line, though? I mean, what he did was...
No. What you got to understand is that was then, this is now. That's the way Lincoln looked at it. It also was Teddy Roosevelt did the same thing, because he said, and I don't remember, I think I heard Rush say it's better to be out inside the tent going out than outside the tent going in. He actually said it the way Teddy said it. I have a feeling that right now he's trying to assemble a team of rivals and get the best talent.
Yeah, but what, I mean, what does Mitt Romney have that is so that's so exclusive to him?
Well, you know, he rescued the 2002 Olympics, which means he had to deal with a lot of countries, and it was a success dealing with all of these countries. So he probably has a lot of contacts, be it through sports, but a lot of contacts with a lot of countries. And, you know, that's a pretty solid resume.
Yeah. Well, maybe he can put him in charge of the gay Olympics, you know. He can
but again, you're throwing that off, but I'm really serious, and I have studied all of the presidents, all 43 of them. I can name any of them, and I actually think it's not a bad choice given the Lincoln leadership.
All right, but what about what Ralph says, that he's discrediting himself by even talking to the guy.
No. Once you've won, guess what, Kelly? You won. And so you talk to any and everyone,
yeah,
and they can all throw bombs. A lot of them are just Democrats trying to get dissension in the ranks. I was against Trump all the way up to the point that it was Trump and Hillary, because I was a Cruz person all the way to the bitter end. And I actually think he probably will cryo balloon Cruz for the Supreme Court, and I think that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there is something to what you're saying. Mike, I got one more call to squeeze in. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Thanks for the great call. Thank you. All right, folks. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Roger.
Roger, hey, good morning to you. What's going on?
Well, I think that Trump's a con artist. That's what he's doing with Romney. He's a con artist.
Is he
He's always going to be one.
Is he charging him $1 million a visit or what?
No, he's thinking 4 years down the line, because he knows more people voted for Hillary than for him, so he's worried about that. So he's trying to make himself look like the peacemaker, unity maker.
There must be some level of interest if he keeps calling the guy back again and again. If he was to meet with him once or twice, but I think Romney's been over there 4 or 5 times hanging around.
Right. And, you know, he talked to Ted Cruz and he talked to Ben Carson, and, you know, he's just conning us again.
All right, so
the entire thing is,
anyway, I'm running out of time, but give Obama a grade between A and F on how he's done.
I'd give him a solid D.
D.
Maybe. Yeah.
All right, well, I think you're being too generous, but thanks for the call, Roger.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, folks, we got to take a break here. Good calls at the end of the first hour. And you're listening to AM Las Cruces on AM 1450, 523 1450. And we'll be back. And we're going to get into some Romney. A salute to a dead cockroach, Fidel Castro. Buena Vista Social Club.
Ay, candela, candela, candela me quemo ahí.
Ay, candela, candela, candela me quemo ahí.
Ay, candela, candela, candela.
All right, so one of the claims that was made by Trump in response to this request for the recount was that there were a lot of illegal and dead people, you know, that were voting. And then people, of course, like everything else Trump says, they started laughing and talking about it. But don't forget when the president said this.
Of the millennials, dreamers, undocumented citizens, and I call them citizens because they contribute to this country, are fearful of voting. So if I vote, will immigration know where I live? Will they come through my family and deport us?
Not true.
Okay.
And the reason is, first of all, when you vote, you are a citizen yourself, and there is not a situation where the voting rolls somehow are transferred over and people start investigating, et cetera. The sanctity of the vote is strictly confidential.
I can't believe I heard what I heard. The president is even questioning whether the person who is an illegal is voting, outside of reminding people that if you're a citizen, you vote. But it's very clear that the question is being asked about illegals voting and afraid that they might be reported to Border Security. You're illegal.
So from what I understand, from what the president said, is you vote, you know, there's two ways to take it. You vote because you're a citizen, or you're a citizen because you vote. Either way, the president was clearly informed that the issue was about illegals. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
We don't have to do anything as Democrats except just sit on the sidelines and wait for you conservatives to hang yourselves by your own petard. It's almost going to be biblical in dimension.
Oh, my.
But let my people go.
Oh, my goodness. The bitterness is really oozing out, Frankie. What's going on here?
Give me a break. This guy is a traitor even before he does become inaugurated.
Oh, poor baby.
You and the rest of the conservative radio rant is all over yourself trying to make excuses for all the idiocy that this guy is already producing.
Frankie.
You're going nowhere.
Frankie. Oh, poor baby. I mean, what's your address? I'll send you over some baby food.
No, I don't need that. Well, I mean, I do like that mashed peaches. I like those peaches.
Listen. What's your explanation, and where's the apology for the idiot that you guys put in for 8 years that has destroyed everything? Or is
57% favorability better than your boy Ronnie Reagan? Hello.
Yeah. Oh,
he's
so,
gonna go down as one of the top. He's gonna knock your boy Ronnie Reagan right out of the running. Barack Hussein
Frankie.
Obama, by golly.
Frankie, you're saying that the polls are suddenly healed. They were wrong before the election, but now the polls are healed. Is he going to go out?
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I think I told you this a couple of weeks ago after the election or whatever the heck it was. Your boy Trump was saying, you're 45 million jobs. I'm going to bring stuff. He ain't going to do squat. He'll be lucky if he gets 45 jobs before he gets impeached within the first year.
Frankie, let me ask you something. It sounds like you're cheerleading for him to fail. If you're a real American, why would you do that?
Oh, listen, people cheerlead Hitler. Are you supposed to be cheerleading Hitler? No, you gotta understand destruction when you see it.
All right, okay, so you know the destruction is coming, and your favorite comparison, Hitler is Trump, is coming back here. So you don't have any sense of we screwed up, we were in charge, everything was going down the toilet, and of course, the Republicans were going to come take things over. We had 2% growth for 8 years, and people didn't want that anymore. There's no sense of ownership for that.
Hey, listen, we did the best we could, but it was all you conservatives that got in the way of the great DHO trying to make America great again. It was your fault that he failed.
Frankie.
And he didn't fail.
Frankie, now, I guess you're telling us that the world's greatest orator, the world's most persuasive person, couldn't get his own House and Senate to give good bills out there, huh?
No, that's right. He couldn't because he had, just like you guys, you Republicans, you got the Senate, but you don't have a majority. It was the same thing with BHO back in 2009 and 10. And I would remind you and your listeners again, what was the first thing that turtle-faced-looking dork Mooch McCrapo say? He said the most pressing problem that we have as Republicans is to make BHO a one-term president. Now, if you talk about somebody like that who is going to be on board to try and make America great again, we could turn this thing around and throw it right back in your face the same way.
But what?
We Republicans are going to make a mess of anything that you're going to try to do.
Frankie. So you guys had a chance at running things. You failed, but you're not above sabotaging the next guy.
Well, yeah, hey, what's goose for the good for the goose, good for the gander. We're going to show you exactly what you did to us, by golly, for sure.
Poor little Barack. So anyway, I asked if a Democrat would call up and say what the Democratic Party needs to change, and it sounds like what you're saying is we need to do more of what we've been doing.
No, all we have to do is nothing, like I said before. You guys are going to fall on your own petard. You see it right now. You just don't want to admit it. You're in a case of serious denial. right off the bat, he claims millions of illegal voters. This guy says stuff that is so far off the deep end, and you defend him. And the rest of all these wannabe people who want a job, who can't get a job because they're not geared, because they're spending too much time drinking beer and going to stupid football games, it's their own fault they can't get a job. Simple as that. And Trump ain't going to do anything about it. Nothing. Zero. Squat.
But the OECD has already said that the rate of growth is set to double.
yeah. Take spot. 45 million jobs in 10 years, right? He's going to bring businesses back that are already overseas. Yeah, that takes fly too. Come on, Kelly, get up. This guy is a whack job.
They're
already talking about 25th Amendment, that they're going to get him out, impeach him because he's a kook.
Right.
And he is a kook.
Just like they're gonna do a recount and pull him out too. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Ralph again, Kelly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hatch, New Mexico, just north of us here, made national news. I forget which election it was. They had more votes counted that they had registered voters. National news, Kelly. Trump knows what he's talking about, all these illegals voting. And Squeaky there, he brought his train of thought from New York City. I've been there. I lived there on 20th and 9th. And then I moved up to the Hamptons. That is typical New York City rhetoric.
Well, I mean, so did the Democrat leadership fail or not for the last 8 years? If it succeeded, it did so without any economic growth. If it succeeded, it did so without securing the border. If it succeeded, it did so without having a good relation or a good agreement with Iran. If it did so, the Middle East is a tinder box now, ready to burst into flames. Where did Obama do well? I mean, if the leadership did well, then why are we talking about everybody hating Obamacare and needing to replace it? Why? Where's the achievements? What did Obama achieve?
Kelly, you don't have enough air time to keep on going. There isn't anything that I can even come close to give him a credit for that he did right. Everything is all screwed up. My dad was chairman for the Democrats, like I've said, for 17 years. I've been a Democrat up until Obama got elected. I thought Lincoln was the worst one. By far, Lincoln was the worst president, and I've read all the history like your prior caller.
Uh-huh.
Remember, I was around for about 12 years when Roosevelt was around, and this president has done nothing but just hurt the United States like you cannot imagine.
I agree. We got another call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, Jim. How you doing?
Good, Jim. What's going on?
I was going real quick here. Only one thing gives me much greater pleasure than having Trump win. That's here, this guy, Squeaky Frankie, come off the rails. That is actually worth the win right there. See him just fall apart like a little baby crybaby.
Well, and I mean, he sounds like Kathy. You guys are terrible. I'm not going to listen to your show anymore. At least he didn't say that. But I mean, you know, if you're an American and Obama's in the office, you have to support him because he's your president. If somebody else comes in like Trump, it's your duty to attack him because he's the next Hitler. I mean, you know, the it's like baby talk.
When people throw the term Hitler out, that just shows their absence of intellect. It shows you how absolutely ignorant and stupid, and it's not even words for people that use that kind of language. That is total imbecility. That's what he is. He's a nut job.
I think it's the Goddard rule. I gotta look it up here because there's a rule in internet debates that as soon as somebody brings up Hitler, a comparison to Hitler, they've lost the debate because there was only one. Godwin's Law. Godwin's Law is an internet adage asserting that as an online discussion grows longer, the probability of a comparison involving Hitler approaches 1 to 1. And once it does, it's over. So anyway, I agree. Frankie, get over it.
I'm just so happy to hear him come off the rails. That's worth the win right there.
Exactly. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, let's take a little. Frankie, come on. Are you like Linus? walking around your house with your blanket sucking your thumb. Get over it. Obama didn't have what it took to be a leader. He had what it took to pretend that he was always, you know, he's always cool, never gets upset. I mean, whatever the thing. I mean, except when there was a real crisis and then he freaked out. You remember when the oil spill in the Gulf, I mean, that guy was so overwhelmed by that. He was just, all he could think about doing was golfing. And, but, you know, hey, Obama failed. We're still alive. We switched leaders. You're going to attack us for switching leaders? All right. You're going to tell us we're terrible people? Okay. You're going to tell us you can't wait for us to fail? That's fine. Even though when a conservative leader got up and said, I hope if he tries to do these liberal things, he fails, and he was himself attacked like Stalin. But that's fine. You hope. You would rather see America burn to ash than for this guy to succeed. All right, that's your free speech. 719 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Say a prayer for Frankie. If anybody knows where he lives, would you go do a welfare check and offer to change his diaper? We'll be right back. Hey, sorry I ran a couple of ads together there, but my machine crashed and I had to reboot it. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
It's Chuck. Man, I'll tell you, that call from Frankie was something to wake up to. I look at the reactions that are going on to this election, and I think that the reactions from the leftists and the liberal progressives, it really points out a moral strength that conservatives have. Conservatives went through 4 years of Carter, 8 years of Clinton, and now 8 years of Obama, and were very unhappy, but they didn't have emotional meltdowns like Frankie had.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that, conservatives have been accused of every crazy thing under the sun, but we're not the ones who go out and kill people. We're not the ones who will, riot in the streets and burn down buildings. That's not our style.
Yeah. I mean, everything that they're saying we are and we do, they are and they are doing.
Yeah.
And I'm really upset. I listen to the things that are going on. I mean, you look at the colleges, they have to have cry rooms for their students to go weep in because the election has upset them so much. I keep hearing about service dogs, stuffed animals for them to cuddle, things to play with, coloring books. And I'm going, my God, what kind of a generation have the liberals raised?
Well, I mean, what I find sad is that somehow the people that are at the beginning of the leadership at the head of the party have convinced tens of millions of people that there's something more important than economic vitality, than growth, than jobs. You know, we've got to fight to save the planet. We've got to be, this identity politics, this thing that I kind of read the definition of the other day, it's more important to have a diverse society, including third gender bathrooms, than it is to have a functional economy. It's an insane, trail that leads to total destruction. And these leftists have totally bought into it. They don't even seem to know, and they don't seem to care.
Well, a lot of things that they say that they use as arguing points for their side, they in fact use themselves. I mean, they've been spouting about war on women for years and years, but now they're trying to take away women's privacy in restroom facility. Now, there's a war on women.
But, I mean, it's always a la carte. It's always ad hoc. It's always off the cuff. The arguments are made up to achieve a point, some gain at the point in time. Black Lives Matter was created by a couple of black female community organizers. And if it turned out that Black Lives Matter actually hurt more black people than it helped, would the community organizers care? No, they'd say we made our point.
Yeah, it's you have to go. The less view of things was put very well by Mao Zedong. He said, to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. And that's the way the left looks at it. If they injure people, it doesn't matter who they hurt or how many they hurt, as long as they reach their objective.
Yes. And the only value, and I've got a couple of bookcases that are just devoted to leftism and Marxism and USSR and China and everything, and a lot of theoretical books. The only thing that matters in leftism is power.
Yeah, it's it's a very personal thing with them. They want to have this strength, this ability to rule over people forcefully if they have to.
Yeah, no, and I mean that's very clear from what Frankie said. Frankie said that he would, there's this old statement, old Italian saying that says, I think in Latin, it let the earth be destroyed, but let justice reign. And they've got this crazy idea that even if everybody has to be killed, we're going to force everybody onto the same page. And it's You know, it's just it is very scary the lengths that these people. I mean, I think it reveals itself as kind of a satanic attack on the human race, because it's either you agree with them or you get locked up or tortured or killed. I mean, that's how it's been in the USSR, in China, where they killed up to 200 million people who didn't fit into their plans. I mean, a lot of the people that were killed in the USSR and China were, I mean, Stalin would sit down and write out these long lists of how many people he wanted to be killed in each precinct, as if by killing somebody they gained. Like there was some spiritual value in just murdering random people. And that's what, you know, and Chairman Mao, you know, he does this great leap forward, and 40 million people die as a result of moving farmers from the farms to the communes. It's crazy. Once you turn your back on the God of the Bible, for whatever reason, whatever argument you want to make, as soon as you do that, it is total chaos and free fall and death and suffering.
Yeah, and it's amazing that people like Frankie can't look and see what the ultimate result of their philosophy, political philosophy, is. All you don't have to look any farther than Cuba. Castro's have done to that island, that once very, very wealthy, healthy island where people lived very well, and now they're driving old cars and donkey carts, and their free health care, which is falling apart. He can't see the reality. He's too wrapped up. People like him are too wrapped up in their political philosophy.
But you listen.
And the reality doesn't exist for them.
Yeah, but you listen to the way he talks. They want revenge. They don't want to just stop Trump's policies. They want everybody who voted for Trump to suffer. They want the United States to be brought low. I mean, here's the statement in Latin: fiat justitia ruat calum, Latin legal phrase meaning let justice be done though the heavens fall. I mean, these guys have their idea of social justice, and if you don't agree with it, you need to be brought to your knees. The entire nation needs to be destroyed because they've turned their back on leftism, even though it was failing, even though everything Obama touched turned to feces.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I can't get my arms around the type of person, can't understand the kind of person that would feel that way.
Well, listen,
their whole objective is to win.
I can't either, but I got to take a break here. Thanks for the call. Good call, but we got to take a break. That's scary, though. Let justice be done, though the entire earth be destroyed. Very scary. We'll take a break here and be right back. Of course, my machine's all frozen up. All right, well, not going to let that get me down. Here is... All right, so, Frankie, you're a curbstone economist, I realize, but the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, that I mentioned, says that the U.S. economy will grow by 2.3% in 2017 and 3% by 2018. What's growth right now? 1.5%. Earlier, I believe at the end of last year, it was down to zero growth. And GDP is projected to return to a moderate growth trajectory in 2007 and 2008. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it, Frankie. And we'll take a break right here and be right back. All right. So, yeah, there's a difference between the liberal mindset and the conservative mindset. And don't forget one thing. Conservative mindset comes out of hundreds or thousands of years of thought and work and trying to build a better society. Leftism is a newbie. Even though leftism, far leftism, acts like it created the world and the conservative movement has to prove itself, it's the total opposite. Leftism has never been successful in any experiment where it's been tried. Socialism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, progressivism. And the fact of the matter is that socialism is harmful. But as you heard from Frankie, now, I mean, here's the thing. These people have a taste of power and they go mad. There would be no end of the amount of changes that Obama would want to put in if he had total control. And so I don't know if he looks at himself and says, I've succeeded or failed, but I mean, I really think that he did a lot of harm to the country. There's no doubt about that. All right, here's a question. Were there illegal aliens that voted? The claim from Donald Trump. Now, you heard, if you were listening earlier, the president said, if you vote, therefore you're a citizen. It was a strange set of ideas that he communicated, although he clearly understood she was asking about whether illegals would be caught and prosecuted for voting. And so the president said, in my understanding and listening to that, that he believes that if a person comes to America, even if they're not a citizen, by voting, they express their citizenship. The president has extraordinarily destructive and harmful ideas, and that's why he wants all these people to come in from other countries. He sees them as citizens. Why? Because he's a globalist. All right, here's O'Reilly on illegal aliens voting.
He tweeted on Sunday that he believes millions of illegal aliens voted in the presidential election. Immediately, Mr. Trump is mocked and scorned by those who don't like him. Now, the fact I cannot possibly verify whether Mr. Trump's statement contains any truth at all. What we can tell you with certainty, however, is that there is an amazing amount of confusion over illegal aliens voting. And that is the subject of the first Talking Points memo. As you may know, California, along with 11 other states, now gives illegal aliens license to drive. And once you have a valid driver's license in California, Connecticut, Oregon, Vermont, and West Virginia, you're automatically registered to vote if you use some sleight of hand. You must provide a valid Social Security number to prove you're here legally. But that can be done via computer. And as we all know, phony Social Security numbers are legion. Now, in California, if you are undocumented, you get a stamp on your license that federal limits apply. And the law in all the 12 states says illegal aliens are not allowed to vote. However, who's checking? The answer, no one, as far as we can tell. And as Talking Point stated, it's not hard to game the system. So it is not inconceivable that millions of illegal aliens did vote on November 8th, but it's not a fact either, at least at this point. Joining us now from Washington, Charles Kratz.
All right, so the issue that was brought up by Trump is not disproved. It may not be proved, but I mean, this idea that Hillary clearly got more popular votes is an objectionable point. I mean, you can argue against it. And when she won in Virginia, she won by the number of felons that were allowed to vote there. So, this whole race was so crazy. All right, now I've got something else. Let's switch gears here. How would Donald Trump's deportation force work? You want to put libs into a frenzy? Bring up this topic. The Kathy who very bitterly, after losing the election, said she'll never listen to the show again. The Frankie who lashed out in a blind fury at talk radio, although he listens every day. Anyway, say some prayers for Frankie. Consider dropping a few Depends or other types of diapers off at his house. He's having a hard time. He's going through the dark night of the soul. Here's the deportation force on KOBE.
Brand new details emerging on President-elect Donald Trump's deportation force, potentially getting local police officers to help deport millions of illegal immigrants. But how would a plan like this work? Here to weigh in is attorney Katie Fang. Katie, thanks for joining us this morning. So I want to be clear about how we got to the potential for this argument. I want to put a full screen up. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach was meeting with Donald Trump at Trump Tower, and there was a photo that emerged of some documentations he was carrying in. And one suggestion, I don't know if we have that photo and can put it up, but one suggestion was potentially on that list a deportation or deputization of local law enforcement to enforce illegal immigration laws. There it is. There's the shot right there. Katie, what do you make of this proposal and how would it work?
Well, Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach is rumored to be leading the charge to become the head of DHS, as well as Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark, who's meeting with Trump on Monday. Section 287G of the Immigration and Naturalization Act of the United States. It was enacted by Congress in 1996. It's been around for a while, guys, and it basically deputizes local and state law enforcement officers to be able to act as immigration, customs, and enforcement agents. So basically something that normally would be done by federal immigration officers would be done by your local cops. And back in December of 2012, Obama effectively neutralized the street level component of that section, basically saying you can't do that anymore. We can only do it when you're in custody and in jail. And of course, as you guys know, that generated the drama involving the sanctuary cities issue as well.
Absolutely, Katie. And I've talked to border agents on the ground and other law enforcement who feel like their hands are completely tied. What would this look like, though? Is this something that would be proactive from those trained by ICE? Are they proactively looking for immigration status, or is it more passive? If there's criminal activity, they're allowed to check for it and then hand them over to the feds.
That's a great question, Pete. It's more proactive. You get trained by ICE, you get 4 weeks of basic training, and every 2 years you get 1 week of refresher courses. And then basically you are just like immigration. You can go, you can proactively stop people on the street, check their immigration status, and if you find that they're here illegally, you can take them into custody. That's that street level task force. But guys, ICE doesn't pick up the cost for that. So that's going to be really expensive for local and state law enforcement. So Donald Trump, if he wants to basically deport to 2 to 3 million illegal immigrants with criminal records who are here in the United States, he's going to have to direct funding and budget resources
sure.
to this effort.
And he's got some mayors, and so we've got a map of sanctuary cities across America that have declared, hey, we're not going to – not only are we not going to work with federal illegal immigration laws or recognize them in our cities, but you might find it hard to imagine that they would be willing to deputize their local police forces as a result. And how, setting those sanctuary cities aside, how, what's your sense of how local law enforcement would react to these kinds of power? Do they want the authority and the ability to do it, or do they feel like, hey, we're already overstretched?
Well, they're already including states like California, Florida, Texas, states that we know actually have a wider influx in terms of illegal immigration. But, it's because it's not going to cost the government anything in terms of the federal government. It might be hard for state and local law enforcement agencies to want to apply for this program, and that might have a chilling effect on their ability to do this, even if they
sure.
want to.
Katie, could you conceive of some federal funding to support the deputization briefly?
Absolutely. Trump is making this a priority. You bet your bottom dollar he's going to direct money towards this resource.
Interesting. Interesting that a new proposal is just a reinvigoration of something that has been around for
exactly.
quite some time. Katie Fang, attorney,
exactly.
thank you very much for joining us this morning.
All right. So sanctuary cities, how many of them? 340 sanctuary cities. And I'm trying to bring up a map here to see which ones are the major ones. So, all right. So here's some of the biggest: New York City, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Chicago, Boston, Miami. And all right. So take our last break right here. And we're going to come back and finish her on up with something interesting. Kelly O'Connell, 748, AM Massachusetts, AM 1450. You're listening to KOBE 523-1450 to call in. All right, so basically 752. And let me ask you this. Obama was in for 8 years. What did he achieve? Obama was in for 8 years. We never had sustained growth over 2%. Now, having said that, and people might argue, well, you know, you've got to, you know, sometimes give up one thing to get another. Well, sometimes you give up one thing and you give up another as well. What did we gain? What did Obama gain by not having any growth? Not, you know, you have to have 3% growth to replace jobs. So 3% growth is treading water. Reagan got the economy up to 7.8%, almost 8% as he was leaving office. And that was in a recovery, in a recession that came about during Jimmy Carter's time, greatly, greatly influenced by his terrible policies. And his policies, as far as I can tell, weren't as bad as Obama's. So what did we gain? Let's just say we were going to trade prosperity for something else. What did we gain by not having prosperity? My answer to you is we didn't gain anything. We also lost freedom. Because when you buy into stuff like that, it is failure. And when you have leadership that, you remember, he gets up and says we can't drill our way out while we are drilling our way out. Obama was like a maitre d' or a greeter at a hospice. Here, welcome. Come on in. You're going to be very comfortable here. We have great drugs. You can lay around all day while you're dying. Your doctor said if you had another operation, you might live. Ah, forget about it. We'll help you die peacefully. That's, to me, the attitude that Obama had. We have another call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Aaron, Kelly.
Aaron, what's going on?
Hey, I think what we got fairness. Isn't that what he was all about? Fairness for everybody?
But it seems like the only thing in the minds of these people is having a, what do you call it, egalitarian? What's the term? I mean, what's the term that's thrown around? We've got to be inclusive. We've got to be, what's the cliche?
Oh, I don't know what the cliche is, but it's just a typical socialistic ideal that, you know, everybody's equally poor, therefore we're more happy.
Except,
of course, for the ruling class. They're not poor.
The head of the military upper class, and the political upper class are living, Castro claimed to live on the beach in a hut, and he actually had houses all around the world. And he had a series of women. He was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He lived the life of a king while his people died.
Look at Chavez's sister down in Venezuela. Supposedly she's the richest woman in the whole country now.
Yeah, but so why do we have to sacrifice everything for what's the term called? Can you help me out here? It is the term that represents that we're an all-inclusive society.
The needs of the many are
no, not at all. Hey, I got to get into a couple of things. Anything else?
Well, that's it, man.
Briefly. Okay, thanks a lot, Darren. I want to get into something real quick here. Here is something from Walter Russell Mead, who's got a wonderful blog called The American Interest. Fidel bought into communism. It didn't work, and socialism's failure in Cuba was even more spectacular and damaging than its failure in other parts of the world. In the USSR itself and in parts of Eastern Europe, socialist economic construction took a huge human toll, and it led to stagnation, but along the way, it created an industrial base. Nothing like that happened in Cuba. As an economic planner, Fidel was one of the great failures of the 20th century. Even by socialist standards, he was a flop. Under Fidel's dead hand, sugar failed, alternative crops failed, manufacturing failed. The few handful of successes, healthcare and pharmaceuticals, were real, but fell well short of providing an economic platform. As Fidel lay on his deathbed, he had to know the two generations of struggle and sacrifice failed to build a new Cuban economy. So he said Fidel only has crimes to thank. And I want to remind you that we've got a new sponsor. It is Cafe Go-Go. All across from Sam's Club, 1120 Commerce, 522-0383, 522-0383. Incredible menu. No, it's not a strip club, but Cafe Go-Go. That'll help you remember it. Really good food. All right, here is Frankie's famous freakout. Trump is a Hitler. And this was from a few weeks ago when Trump was elected. Well, I don't even hear it playing, kids. What happened here? Okay, I'll save it for tomorrow. We're running out of time anyway. Frankie's famous Hitler freakout. All right, so what do we have to say for ourselves today? We're in the middle of change, and for some reason, even though the lefties love catastrophic revolutions, they don't like Trump. Isn't Trump a catastrophic revolution to a lefty? I mean, shouldn't you be head over heels in love with this guy? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense to me. So the question is, what is the country going to look like in a year? And Frankie predicts we're going to fall into total collapse, and we deserve it. So on the alternative, the OECD, which is not a political entity, says that we're going to have 3% growth in about a year and a half, in basically 15 months, and that we should keep growing because they're going to bring a lot of money from offshore. They're going to get businesses to stop exporting to other countries. They're going to figure out a way to keep them here. And instead of celebrating failure and the need for globalism, we're going to focus on America once again. 759 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And you've been listening to KOBE, the Kelly O'Connell Show. I appreciate it. Have a great day. We'll meet back in 22 hours. Ciao.
I listen to your show anymore is I hope I hear Frankie.
All right, Kathy. Thanks for the call. Have a good day.